Blog Talk Radio.
When you don't.
Heaven could be a wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me a very wonderful, supernatural, special place.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Okay, today is January the 16th of January, 2007, and we welcome to the broadcast today. I'd like to acknowledge the celebration of the birth of Dr. Martin Luther King, civil rights leader, pastor, family man, and husband. And today we just take time out to recognize him here, the federal holiday, state holiday, and just to be remembered. The struggles and sacrifices made in the civil rights movement. And even though, no matter what's going on, someone had to sacrifice themselves for others to gain, and we have to remember that. So we remember Dr. King for the work he did, for the labor he did, for he organized to push this country to a place where civil rights and the rights of folk were protected and were put into law. So I just give acknowledgement for that today. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to have a conversation. We're going to talk about a lot of different things tonight. And hopefully you can join us. If you're listening online, if you went online to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can call in live tonight and join the conversation by calling 646-668-2636. Amen. So we encourage you to come in and share. We're going to talk about a couple of topics tonight. We're going to continue this month. We were the month of January, doing the first of the year, to encourage men, encourage the body of Christ, and specifically men, prepare ourselves in these times. I know a lot of churches are going through consecration and fasting, and we're taking evaluation of ourselves, our walks, and our ministries. But remember the Great Commission. Remember that we are called to evangelize. We are to spread the gospel to all the world. So we are praying today. We encourage men to prepare ourselves to be able to go out in this season, in this time, in this year, to reach at least one for Christ, reach someone that their lives might be turned around, they'd be converted, and that the Holy Spirit can use them. Because we never know who we are ministered to and how God will use them once they come into the kingdom of God. Amen. Well, I'm over a scripture and prayer and even a little conversation. We have some brothers on the line already, so we're going to bring them in and we're going to have a discussion tonight. Amen. Amen. Tonight I'm going to be reading from James chapter number 4, starting at verse number 7. And the word of God says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Father God, we say thank you today, God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are our keeper, our sustainer, oh God. You're our strong tower, Lord God. You are our righteousness, oh God. Father, we thank you today, oh God, for the sacrificial death of your son, Jesus Christ, oh God, that we were all sinners, God, tied to the nature of Adam through his disobedience, but with one man's disobedience, God, through the blood of Christ, that one perfect man, we are redeemed We are saved and we are redeemed back unto you. So, Father, continue, God, to strengthen us, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Continue to speak into the lives of your people, O God. For those men on the line tonight, O God, for those that are listening, O God. And Father, for today, we send a special prayer, God, for the unbeliever, God, that they might come to know you as Lord and as Savior, that we would continue to spread the gospel message of truth and life and peace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Amen, amen. Well, we have a couple quick announcements here. I'm going to give a couple quick ones. We have an upcoming event. So I'm going to put this out in the forefront. We have an upcoming men's fellowship event coming up on Saturday. That's this coming Saturday, the 21st of January. It's at the Jesus Lives Ministry Fellowship. The address is 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland, 21076. It's at 10 a.m. on Saturday. And this is the first one of the new year. But if you also want to mark your calendars, every third Saturday of the month at 10 a.m., the men will be gathering there for teaching. The focus this year is boys to men. And I believe this month, we're going to be talking about broken homes, what happens when a man is not in the home and why a man should be in the home. So we're going to go there and encourage the fathers, encourage the husbands and the sons, and let you know that there's a place for you. No matter, even if you was raised without a father in your home, God has still put men in your life that are important, that you can lean off of and that you can be mentored by. So we invite you to join us on January the 21st, 2017, at Jesus Lives Ministries. Again, that's in 7466 New Ridge Road, Hanover, Maryland, 21076. Amen. 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 Our next announcement is, again, coming up for Valentine's next month in February. Wayne Soul Evangelistic Church is having an evening of elegance on Friday, February the 10th at 7:30 p.m. The cost is $60 per couple, semi-formal attire. We're going to have dinner, dancing, live music, spoken word, photo booth, vendors, door prizes. So if you want any more information, call 609-234-0852. Amen. Well, that concludes our announcements for tonight. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about a lot of things. I wanted to start off with some of the goals and some of the things that we come up here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. And as you know, most people know that we have a Man Up event, ministries in the Coalition of Ministry to Men, and we're in the planning stages for a spring event, our first event of 2017. We encourage you to keep a lookout on Facebook, keep a lookout on Twitter. And we're getting ready to be going to the planning stages later on this month. And we're going to have a date set by February, and we'll be putting that information out there. We're going to have a gathering of men where we're going to come together and share and encourage one another, find the solutions for some of the issues that we deal with every day and every life. Because as husbands, fathers, and sons, we have more in common than we are different. And some of the things that we are going through or have been going through, someone else is in that place now. I can use a word of encouragement to let them know there's a way out. And even if he's seeking answers, maybe he can glean it from someone else who's been through it. Amen. We ask you to follow us on Facebook, and that's the first place it'll be. And then we'll be announcing it here on the show every week until then. We'll have registration, and then all the details will be reading and worked out by February. So we'll have that announcement on the first show in February. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight I wanted to share a couple of things. We wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that we're looking to achieve this year in ministry, in our personal lives, in who we are as men, as husbands, fathers, and sons. Because, again, the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. And I believe every man should have a vision for his life, for his ministry, for himself, on the goals and set goals and milestones for what he wants to do in this next calendar year. You know, because I don't really want to call it resolutions or anything like that, because as men of God, we are always seeking to please God and do His will. But then again, we have to have a vision, and especially if you're a husband and a father, and your family that you're responsible for, and if you're in ministry, you may not be the senior pastor, but this should be a ministry that you're engaged in, that you have a passion for, that will help someone come to Christ and help show the love of God. So we wanted to talk, share a little bit about that, about what's coming, what do you have in the works for the coming calendar year to reach the lost, to serve the lost, to how are you going to most be able to show in your life and what you're going to do today that God, the good God is your Lord and your Savior, and glorify Him in you and all that you do in our labor. Amen. Amen. So well, let me bring my brother on. Good evening, Brother Boone. How are you, sir?
God bless you, Deacon Farr. How are you today?
Wonderful, wonderful, brother. How are you?
Fine. Happy Dr. Martin Luther King's Day today.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, bro. We're going to talk about a lot of things today, but I know you do a ministry there at, within your Covenant House and also. So one of the questions we were putting on the program tonight was about some of the things you have planned coming up for the new year, or goals that you're setting, or vision for your ministry. If you're willing to share.
Yes, very willing to share. Covenant of Lighthouse Ministries. We have an outreach program called Beyond the Walls. Also, I have my own personal, which I have the Community of Love United, which I'm a sole proprietorship of. And pretty much our goal is to reach communities, people that we encounter, just on every daily walk at work, be it also at home, to just make sure that my walk is a walk of Christ and not my walk of my own. Because I have learned that walking on my own sight, I'm blind to things that I'm not as a natural person to see. But with the help of Jesus Christ, God's Son, I'm able to receive the wisdom and understanding to see and feel and understand people much, much better. So I'm really looking forward to 2017 to bring souls to our church. I already spoke to some of our pastors at the church to pretty much look at something in that manner to go to communities that don't even know about the church or go to areas that don't know about the church to give them a ride to church. Give a soul a ride. ride to church, you know, every Sunday. You know, get the word out there more. Get the word of knowing that yes, there's many, 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 many churches in our area that people can go to. But announce your church, not just on the radio, not just on the Facebooks, not just on the tweets and things in that nature. Just get the word out there a little bit more. Not Bible thumping. Not having to blow on and yell at everybody, but get it out there in the manner where the soft manner where people will just know that they can change their lives in a manner of spiritual manner. Through Christ and just saving their own souls. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. I'm glad you said that because that's one of the things we've been talking about this month, for the month of January, about evangelism, the importance of getting out there, getting out to minister to the lost, to share the gospel, to be able to go out and be able to get face-to-face. I know you mentioned that, using the technology and the social media, but there's someone out there we need to be engaged with on one-on-one and get them to understand what the gospel is and just share the gospel. Some of the things we've talked about in the past was, you know, trying to answer some of the questions, preparing ourselves, because it's not just, you know, it is the work of the Holy Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit moving and giving us unction to know when to speak. But sometimes we have to be on purpose. Because when we are called to witness or to give a reason for our faith or reason of what we believe, we have to be able to answer that in a way that people can understand and make it relevant to their lives. So I believe that we have to study to show ourselves approved to be able to share the gospel, to sow seeds. God could be concerned with the increase because he's solvent. The Holy Spirit is going to move against people's hearts that will open their blinded eyes. But we have to be consistent in sowing seed no matter what kind of ground it falls on. So I just encourage you, brother, what you're doing there, it sounds like, you know, you have a vision for it, and I believe it starts with the vision and the idea and the passion, and then God will start adding to that because we have to be willing vessels to be used by him. And once we're willing and we're submitted unto him, he'll give us opportunities to be used for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, tonight is also something we wanted to talk about. You know, it's about, again, I shared here what we're going to be doing at the Coalition of Men's Ministries, and the brother here shared, and we encourage you to call in if you're listening. And if you want to share, you can press 1 on your keypad. And if you called in at 646-668-2636 and you wanted to share or give some encouragement, we welcome you to come and do that. Well, tonight, again, I wanted to reach out to the men. One of the things we have as ongoing that we also started for this year here at Issues Christian Men's Talk is for men, brothers, husbands, fathers, and sons. We have a 2017 challenge. It's six things here that we want to stir the spirit in the brothers to be able to go out and minister. One of the things is we talked about it earlier about sharing the gospel to one person face-to-face every month. Okay? That's one thing we want to be able to do, face-to-face. I mean, we can tweet them, we can text them, we can fax them, we can invite them to church. But can we reach out to someone, take someone to lunch, take someone to coffee, and share the gospel with them, one person every month. The next one is to be able to disciple and mentor a man. If we've been in the church, if we've been in the body of Christ a while, we're called to, if we're mature, okay, I say that, if we're mature saints and we are walking in the light that is pleasing to God, we're called to make disciples of all men and mentor men. So if you're in that place, you don't necessarily have to be a elder, leader, pastor. But if you're a man of God who's rooted and grounded in the Word, this should be someone you're discipling. And also in the things of God, but also in that discipling, that you can start by discipling someone in some of the secular things, in your job, on your work. If you've been on the job a certain long, have certain years of experience, are you discipling someone else to help them out, to be more proficient in their work environment, in their skill set, helping them increase their skill set? That you people you work with, we all work, all of us are not office workers or computer guys, but some of us are manual labor. So are we discipling someone in training, giving them a trade, giving them, showing them, exposing them something, you know, so that they might be able to be discipled and be a better worker, no matter what it is and what you do. If there's someone in your circle that you work with or in your circle of influence that you can disciple and help them. Build a new friendship. Reach out. Go outside your comfort zone, outside your circle, your comfort zone of people that you always hang around, your clique, your crew, your whatever, and build a new friendship with someone this year. Just one person, saved or unsaved, or build a real friendship. Because a lot of men suffer with not having real friends or having friends that they can talk to, they can spend time with, have that camaraderie with, that they can just hang out with. So that's one thing we can do, especially in the body of Christ. Mentor a man inside your bloodline. That goes back to reaching out beyond your family, beyond your son, your cousins, your nephews, your son-in-laws. Reach another man. Mentor him in the things of God. Because there's nothing better than being able to mentor and disciple someone. And I think that's one of the biggest goals. We need to be able to give of ourselves. You know, even if you volunteer, I'll bring that back. I know a couple of brothers who reach out to me. I know a couple of men in the Baltimore area and the D.C. area who are coordinators or supervisors of mentoring programs, and they're always looking for volunteers. So you can contact us here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. If you have some spare time, if your heart is ready to be a volunteer and mentor someone outside your circle, and especially we talk about the young men, we talk about all these things that are going on in this culture, But as if we're rooted and grounded, men of God, and we're not reaching out, then are we doing what God called us to do, to be change agents, to affect the culture, and the young men out here who are going to be, who we can sow into their lives and keep them from being the next problem, the next whatever that will destroy their life and destroy their family. Amen?
Amen.
And one of the last things we say is to pray. Pray that Jesus will use you to grow someone else. So continue to be in prayer. Continue to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit that you can help grow and mentor someone in the growth, whatever it is. Again, there's so many things. When we talk about discipling and mentoring, these are the things we should do as men, as mature men, that we're leaving a legacy, that we're leaving something behind us. Because when we die and we're gone from this earth, whose life we have changed and whose life we have changed for the body of Christ. Amen. Brother Bloom, what do you say, sir?
You know, you hit all cylinders on that one, Deacon Farr. You know, while you were speaking about those things, I also came to mind very clearly Dr. Martin Luther King. I mean, think about it. Think about if Dr. Martin Luther King did not do what he did, what would we be celebrating? What would we be thinking about? Would we be thinking about peace and love and brotherhood and diversity? And would we be thinking about all those things? No, we would not be thinking about those other things. Would we be thinking about them from other spirited brothers, Malcolm X and other brothers and sisters that has came through this world and is gone and left some type of legacy of love in some form or fashion? Yes, but Dr. Martin Luther King stuck out. He reached multitudes of people the same way we should. Sure, we may not meet the amount that he has, but people will remember you, as you know, for the love and care and concern of his soul. You know, it's not what they look like or what they're doing or where they live or how they are. If you could just put a whisper in that person's soul, no matter what they're doing or how they're doing it or where they come from, you have done your job. So we can't be afraid to reach out to people that we feel that, oh, if I talk to this person, people may look at me like, why are you talking to that person? But you have to think that you're walking in the spirit. You're not walking in your own spirit. Your own spirit is not approved of to being able to speak what God is relevant to speak of. God gives you those words and sentiments and peace to be able to approach areas, people, and anything that you do. He doesn't give you that feeling of, oh, I'm afraid to, or I shouldn't, or my church may think this, or the Bible says this. He already tells you what the Bible says. Just knowing that you have that hookup, so to speak, with God, with his son, you will just have the blessings of peace to be able to handle all things. So just don't be afraid. God got your back, as people say. And it's true. You feel that God has your back because you're not afraid of anything, because God gives you that peace, that perfect peace. What do you think, my brother?
Amen, sir. And yeah, I agree with what you said about Martin Luther King. We have to, as we celebrate him today, and we have to understand it's biblical. You know, that was a time, and he was the man for that time. Just like all the others you mentioned, there's Marcus Garvey. There's other that unsung, not so famous folk who were in the struggle for civil rights here in this country. Specifically for black people and for all people, but
yeah.
it was the time that God chose to use him, and it's one of the things that I mentioned it. You know, I wanted to be able to share as a black guy who's been around a while and remembers what was the teachings of Dr. Martin Luther King and what he actually said. because right after, you know, it was a child when he was assassinated. But some of the things that we were taught back early about the man was his strategy of nonviolence and how, what he accomplished. And I think some folk use his name in the name of protest, and then they don't do anything similar to what he did and what those group of people around him did. And I think that's where we as a generation who knew and were taught need to share with this next generation. Because when we say about protest and marching, some of the marches you've seen, and I'll say this, that in some of the marches we've seen in the last couple of years was not representative of what Martin Luther King did and how he got changed and was affected, and change was affected in this country. And I know there's a generation of men out there who know that, but it's not being shared with this next generation. Because I can flash back to Baltimore, what was going on in Baltimore. That wasn't the mentality, attitude, or the atmosphere when those folk marched for civil rights in all the places that they were confronted and attacked. What they did was not what those who claim to be protesting and marching for change didn't do. So it's a whole philosophy they need to understand. And the only way I believe a generation can understand is someone they sit down and learn, because it's just not about going out in the street and running up and down the street screaming and hollering, you know. So that's my little 2 minutes of commentary for Martin Luther King, because again, if the way he did it is why things changed, and because that was the time that God's hand was on his life to do that thing, is why it was successful, and we are reaping the benefits today. What do you say, brother? Yeah.
Truly, 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 truly agree. I'm going to give a case in point. My son, he's 22 years old. He got upset over the areas where, and I may not say it clear, where the American Indian tribes were. That they was trying to run that oil through their land, but now that's on hold right now. But when they said they were going to do it without putting it on hold, he was very upset, and him and his friends, worked on fasting and stuff like that. I said, hold it, son. I said, you don't protest by doing something against what your God gave you, which is your temple. The way you protest is you have to join together and let your voice be heard, that you'll be able to make a difference. By starving yourself, you're not getting anywhere. So in the manner I'm saying is to say that you don't starve yourself and just do something just without the whim of thinking rationally, of thinking in a spiritual manner. What would God do? What would Jesus do? You know, when we, like you stated, those marches was not formed in a very clear manner. So we have to have our brothers and sisters just step out there and try to make a way for it. And I'm not going to say that no brothers and sisters, Christian brothers and sisters, stepped out there to do that. They did the best they can, yes. But hopefully it's a lesson learned that there's order, there's spiritual order in everything that you should do. Even when you're driving your car, you should think about should I actually make a big deal out of this guy who just cut me off? is it really worth it? You know, you have to stop. You have to learn to stop and think. How should I rationally take care of this thing? It's a very hard thing to do. I mean, I'm a witness, you know. But once you, just like repetitions, once you get that timing of doing things time after another, you will feel gratified on how you handled that, and you know that it's not no one but God that's given you that peace and understanding to be able to to rationally handle matters, just like Dr. Martin Luther King. As you know, everybody knows he was a preacher, he was a pastor, and what other way would he have handled these things but asking God, how should I handle this, how should I handle that? And he trusted. And you have to trust in what you hear in your spiritual ear and see in your spiritual eye. Everything has to be spiritually seen and felt to be able to approach difficult situations. There's no doubt about it. What do you think, sir?
Amen. So I agree. It comes with prayer for the body of Christ, for men of God. You definitely have to pray and seek God for the direction to go on these things. You're right, because just jumping up and doing something, and is it going to be relevant? Is it going to be effective? And what are we looking to understand? Do we understand what the issues are that we really put ourselves to? And that's what we're saying. You know, it what Martin Luther King did. All I can say, I'll say this: there are books written, there's documentation. Now we have the technology. We need our people need to go back and really understand all of what Martin Luther King did and what he taught to get an understanding. I believe if the vision, the format, the formula, the things they did, all the way from sit-ins to marches, if that philosophy, if somehow we could get that philosophy through those who have influence into this 21st century, I believe they would still work. Because of social media, because of the technology, but it takes a discipline, and that's our biggest problem. I'm not going to say young people, it takes discipline across the board, but those who have a passion to do, because we have to remember, everybody didn't march, but for those who have a passion to do, there's a certain discipline, and if we can bring that, I believe we can bring that spirit back. We can be effective in combating some of the things that's going on, along with prayer. But again, it has to be. We need someone who's going to speak to those issues and take go back to accountability and responsibility. And I think that's what it really is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall. I'm here with Brother Boone. And we're just discussing some Martin Luther King stuff. We went to some other stuff, but we started talking about the protests, and it just, the spirit just moved. So we had to bring some clarity, because again, we're men of a certain age, and some of the folk out here don't really understand. they haven't been taught, or they assume when we say march and protest, it's one thing. I mean, it's definition of terms. And I've seen folk, again, they've used Dr. King's name in a way and connected it with some kind of protest they had done. It wasn't what that generation did to make significant change. So to provoke his name on your events or your things, and it's not fair. It's not fair to the legacy. And sometimes it shows how ignorant you are of what actually went on. And the strategies that were adopted for those times and for those changes. Amen? Amen. So we'll leave it right there. We'll let that meditate on those who are listening. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, tonight we're going to share, the importance of sharing the gospel as we shift gears here. It's the gospel.
Yes.
It's the word of God. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to change the hearts and minds of men to give them the wisdom that God can be able to, so you can be used by God. Because we have to remember, even if we look at Scripture, if we look at all the men in the Bible, there was only one pure and righteous man, and that was the man Jesus Christ. But God also used imperfect men throughout Scripture to bring about his will and his plan for the human race. You know, all the way even from Adam, the first man he created, even when Adam failed him and sinned and the fall came, he showed himself as a redeemer even then. Amen? We're not going to get theological here, but we have to understand that if we look at Scripture, and I know from our men who are in the body of Christ, this is something you should already know, but we have to be able to be able to communicate this to the unbeliever, that they don't have to be perfect that they don't have to be get themselves together. They don't have to wait until, you know, well, I got to get myself together. I got to clear this up. I got to do this and that, and then I'll come to church. And that is that moment where the enemy has a foothold in their life because they're never going to get it and see themselves good enough to come. And that's one of the hindrances, one of the lies of the enemy that tells you that you're not good enough and you're never going to be good enough. And you can't be one of them people because them people got themselves together. And that's a lie that keeps them out, that keeps folk from the church and from coming to faith. And that's one of the things I think about myself, the passion, that we try to get folk to come to our church, which is fine, but we should be in a place where we can share the gospel and be prepared to have them understand who God is so that the Holy Spirit can get that foothold to be able to do a work in them. You know, they may come to your church and they may not come to your church, but what are we showing them in our encounters? And that's where we have to prepare ourselves for every and the next encounter with someone to be able to share the gospel. What do you think, sir?
That is so true. Let very, very simple, simply in the Bible, let your light so shine that others may see. And that is so true because, as we all know, we are there. It's a judgmental world, and if somebody's looking at you and your light is not shining and showing a different light than what you state or portray, they're gonna judge you and they're gonna judge you not the way that you want to be judged. So, as long as you're walking in that light and that beautiful light of God, of Jesus, of what how he wants us to be able to shine upon others, spreading the gospel. Spreading the gospel doesn't mean you have to yell it out. You can walk and talk to people, and they'll know. This is a judgmental world, as everybody knows. People will assume very, very fast. So give them no reason to assume. So you walk up to people. You walk in the mall. You walk in the grocery store. You walk in the line. And some of you who are already listening know that you could be in the grocery store and somebody just out of the whim just starts conversation with you, and you're like, well, that must be God, because I would never think such a person would speak to me. You know, and also in church or at work, your light just draws them nigh to them, just very nigh. So you have to be able to focus on the daily, saying that Lord's Prayer on the daily to keep your focus. Even eating well helps your focus. Sleeping well, you know, not just reading the Bible. You have to take care of that temple as well. So all these things are a plus to you, to God, because it's counted all joy and counted all God that it's him that we represent. What do you think, my brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The whole goal, like you were saying, some of the things you were saying, that's about our lifestyle. Are we living a life? I mean, we do, you know, I'll say this. It's we do a lot of things to prepare for other parts of our lives. You know, we go to college, we train, we go to training on our jobs. We do all these things for all these temporal things. But again, we have to be able to look in the mirror and look at ourselves. What are we doing for the kingdom of God, and what are we doing to fulfill God's will for this earth? What is God's will for the lost, and what are we doing to prepare ourselves to be used by him? You know, we go to college, we go to trainings, we go to seminars, we do a lot of things for our professional life to get the next promotion, to train, to be a manager. We'll take manager training, we'll take human resource training, we'll take competencies, we'll do all those things. We'll go, you know, you will take a class, we'll learn how to do, you know, if we're a carpenter, to be a better carpenter or whatever, you know, and we'll do all those things in the temple. What are we doing in the spirit? And I say this because as Christians, as believers in Christ, as biblical Christians who are heirs to the kingdom of God, we're called to fulfill the Great Commission. So what are we doing to better ourselves to be prepared to be used by him? Because, again, if we look at Scripture, those men, and especially in the Old Testament, the prophets were used, the judges, they were men. They weren't perfect because they have their flaws, and their flaws are there, but they were prepared to be used by God in any way that needed to be used. But God granted them some supernatural gifts, but also they were prepared to be able to stand before men, especially the prophets. If we search through Scripture, Israel, you know, they killed a lot of their prophets who tried to correct them, tried to bring them back under submission to God. And the Bible tells us of when Israel's disobedience, they were punished. God used whole other nations to come and punish his beloved nation. So, again, what are we doing? Are we prepared to do those things spiritually? Are we putting the same time in to the things of God? And again, I want to emphasize this, because a lot of folk, you know, it's not the pastors, the elders, the deacons, and you know, those with titles and position or full time ministry. I want to talk to the lay leaders. I want to talk to the laymen in the church. You may be in the third row, the last row, or you may come late and you make it in the back of the church with only a half hour service left. But if you confess the name of Jesus Christ, God, there's a call on your life, and you have a responsibility because you love God, and because you love him, you're obedient to him. And we're called to preach the gospel to all nations and every living soul.
Yeah.
So that's what I just want to encourage those my listeners tonight and those who are listening, and your brothers out there, you know, that if we share the gospel with one, we never know who that one is. You know, we all have a bloodline and a legacy. But we also have spiritual bloodlines that we are accountable for, and we could be the next link in the next chain of the next one who God is going to use to do a mighty work. It's not that we're going to hinder it, but we could have been part of it. I mean, it's in, I believe it's in the book of, Matthew. It's in Matthew. The legacy of Jesus through Mary and through Joseph. And if we look at the folk who's in there, I was in a study recently and we looked at that, and we look at the folk who were in his bloodline, his direct descendants of his bloodline. Some of them had some issues. There's a couple of whores in there, a couple of murderers, a couple of other guys who did this stuff. You know, it's a whole lot of people in there. But they were in the bloodline, and because they followed through with what they knew of God and what they were in their obedience to what God was called doing in their lives, they were in the bloodline to get to Christ, that man Christ can be born. So we have to realize, too, that we are part of someone's spiritual bloodline to bring them to Christ, that God can do what he's going to do in the earth before his return. In the body of Christ, I think we have to get to that place, and as men, we definitely have to get to that place, because there's men out here who will not hear the gospel and will not receive the gospel from women. It's as simple as that. You can be upset. You can call them feminists. You can call them anything you want. But we're talking about the salvation of their soul and the potential of what's next that God can use that man for. And there have to be men out here who can speak to other men about the gospel. And then also, we have to be able to relate to men in their struggles. Because once we come to Christ, that the battle's not over. It really just begun. And some brothers need to have those next to him to hold them accountable, to encourage him, to be there with him as a brother in Christ, to help him through those things and the challenges that he's going to go through. So that's why we here at Issues Christian Men's Talk always encourage men's ministry, men's fellowship. If your church doesn't have a men's group, or they don't meet regularly, or they took a hiatus, I encourage you to get stirred up. Pray about it. Go to your pastor and start the process. It's still early. It's January. It's still cold.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things you can get yourself. You can take this time in hibernation and fasting and consecration to start to begin to think about what are we going to do to encourage our men and to reach men, and begin to pray that prayer. Amen.
Amen.
You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Lowe here with Brother Boone, and we're sharing some wisdom. We touched on a lot of things: the gospel, Martin Luther King, the civil rights movement, marching. We got a lot of things tonight. Amen.
Yes. God moves. God is moving.
God is moving. Amen. Amen. Again, it's just Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to this broadcast, the rebroadcast. All of our shows are there. You can also follow the link there. You click on the follow link, and you'll get an update for when we do a new broadcast or do a new download, so you can join us. Sometimes you might forget. But we just, we're just here, and we just share some of the things, issues, and some of the things, and talk about solutions with some of the problems that men face as we raise our children and love our wives and lead our families. Amen? Well, let's see, we have a couple minutes left, bro. Anything you wanted to share, and just speak a word of encouragement, because I know there's a lot of things going on, and we just, as a body of Christ, I just wanted to come back to the body of Christ, because there's going to be a challenge for us. There's going to be a challenge for a lot of things. Culturally changing. I was talking to a pastor. I was talking to a brother earlier this week. Well, as a matter of fact, it was this weekend. And, you know, Maryland is going to be one of those states that's going to legalize marijuana. And unfortunately, I believe in the next 10, 15 years, marijuana is going to be legal in a lot of states, because they start with medical, and then that's the foothold. And after that, it just goes downhill from there. And us as a church, are we ready? What is the church going to look like? Because we have a generation of folk right now, I believe, in their secret place, they don't see a problem with marijuana. It's just like we have a generation that didn't see a problem with alcohol, but then we see the repercussions of it. Because even I think there was a report, I'm not going to quote it right now because I don't have details in front of me, but in those states where marijuana has been illegal, there's an increase of a lot of health issues and some other things going on because of the overwhelming use of marijuana now that it's legal. But I'm not going to touch that much because I don't have the information here in front of me. It's an article I'm reading. But again, as us, the body of Christ, what's our plan and our vision? How are we going to raise our young people? How are we going to preach? Because we got some old brothers out there. Once if it gets legal, then you can't tell me I'm grown. I'm over 21. I'm full grown. You can't tell me because you can barely get me to stop drinking. What do you say, brother?
God bless you. That's a very serious and sensitive topic. As you stated, there are repercussions of smoking marijuana as far as health reasons. They're speaking about the abdominal area. I do not have the specifics, but everybody can look up on the research on that, of the consequences of overindulging. Yes, I've did it in my times when I was younger, but I realized that, you know, that slows your mental down. That really slows your mental down from things that you want to achieve. And it's for that reason. I mean, I'm not speaking on the medical term. Medical term is a different thing. But to achieve the things you want to, smoking marijuana, just as drinking alcohol, will slow down the process of what your thoughts want to be. So you may get a little lazy, let's use that word, in your thoughts of wanting to achieve things or wanting to be successful or wanting to rectify issues. So don't fall victim as I did when I was younger. Luckily, I was younger then, and I had time to rebuild. That's when I joined the military for 10 years, and you know they was not playing that then. So that was cut out. Yes, I have friends now.
Wait, I got you, brother. Amen. This military, there was a time when the military was hardcore. So you failed your analysis. You was done. It was over. It was
that's
no second
very,
chance.
Very true.
I understand. That's my military too, brother. I'm a Ronald Reagan military Navy guy. But anyway, yeah,
hey.
That's what I'm saying. That's one of the other things. You know, when we talk about this.
Yes.
They don't realize it's going to be not every just because I think this is another issue. I'm going to just interject this. That's another issue.
Yes.
Just because it's legal doesn't mean every business company or whatever is going to allow it. Because when they start testing and you pop.
Your analysis tested.
Just because it's legal, it's because you have to understand. It's the same thing as going to work drunk. So it and then the other part is, and I know this is an article, this is in Colorado, they can do a sobriety test to see how much THC is in your blood when you drive it. So now you're opening yourself up to a whole other issues. So it's not, again, is the church prepared? That's all I want to say.
Yes, and people have to
Christ
realize.
Prepared? Are we proactive? Go ahead, sir.
Very true. And people have to realize, when you smoke that, I know when I smoked it, you know, I didn't smell it upon myself when I was younger, but it's all in your clothes, and you cannot fool people to think that you have not smoked it. So let's come to realization that, look, you're not fooling anybody, and if you get stopped by the police or whomever, they smell it. And so let's try to drift away from it, because it's not going to do you any well. It's not going to do you good at all. What do you think, brother?
Amen, bro. Again, this is something we have to be prepared for, because, again, there's going to be a generation, you know, that it's going to always be legal, but we have to come with the same, I think we have to approach it in the same way that we approach alcohol now, you know. And sometimes abstinence is good, moderation, spiritual, your body is a temple, and just because it's right don't mean it's right for the body of Christ. And again, I say this, man, there's so many brothers and men and people I know who've been through recovery, and it started with getting marijuana, getting high. So it can lead a lot of things. I'm not going to say, because, you know, there's folk out here who will raise up on you and say, you know, I've been smoking marijuana for 15 years, and I never went to heroin. That's fine. But I know folk who did start with marijuana and move right up the chain, and their lives were destroyed, and their families were destroyed. So we can't let it, we can't make it that easy. Because, again, alcohol is the same thing. You know, folks that drink, they've been drinking their whole life. But, you know, they had a couple of incidents and circumstances and, well, you know, whatever. But
it's
about us as the body of Christ. But we're going to be able to teach this next generation. And we're going to be able to minister to them and give them a reason for the hope that lies within them. And that's what we're called to do. And that's what we're called to reconcile them back. Because, again, you know, the rehabs are filled. People are waiting to get in rehab for all kinds of things. And to make one of these drugs, you know, one of these substances just as legal as alcohol, is we're destined to have some of the same issues dealing with it. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Well, brother, I thank you for joining us tonight. I thank you for your insight and your wisdom and sharing and the transparency. And I do appreciate you for joining us.
I truly enjoy it.
Amen, bro. I mean, again, you know, you have an open invitation, bro. come on and join, and bring your dialogue.
Thank God for you, brother. I thank God for you, and where I know that I don't have to just show up in church on Sunday. I could show up on Monday, and I could show up on Thursday if I need to.
Oh, man, that's a great responsibility, bro. I'm about to pray over that one. But I have a couple of folk online listening, but they didn't feel like they wanted to share. But that's okay. That's all right. Just keep calling. Keep listening.
Amen.
We encourage it. You don't have to always share, but I do appreciate you, brother, taking time out. Amen?
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and we invite you to join us every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8:30. You can go on www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Farr. And you can tell us far. And again, you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Issue Men's Talk on Twitter. You can follow us there. You can reach out to us, contact us there. We invite you to come on. We invite you to come on and talk about your men's ministry. If you have any upcoming men's events, we encourage you to join us and share. Because one of the things we do encourage here at Issue Christian Men Talk, that if there's a men's event and there's opportunity for men to come together in fellowship, we encourage it. You may not have to be a member of that church or that fellowship, but when men of God come together, things can happen, things can change. And you never know, a man that might be there might need that time to be encouraged, to be blessed, and to be able to be encouraged by you or any men in your group. Please share it. We thank you for that. Continue to listen, and we say God bless you. We'll talk to you again on Thursday. God bless.
Very special, beautiful gift.
Very wonderful, supernatural, special friend of his name. Hello, Jesus children, Jesus loves you, Jesus children. Hello, children, Jesus loves you, love America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling what you're praying?